When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Ho, 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 ho. It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Tagovailoa. Not
Tua Tagovailoa.
A forever Dolphins quarterback.
Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua.
Tua.
Tua, Tua, Tua. Tua, Tua, Tua. Chris Sims can go to hell. Tua Tagovailoa. Dolphins quarterback.
I love Christmas.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy show here. Tobin out for the week. Frog boy holding things down. Got Leroy here with me. Got Jay Fig with us in the back. We'll be hearing from her shortly. Couple segments away from our Christmas trivia. In the meantime,
you can't. Like,
can't wait, dude. We're just talking about this stupid sport.
Wait, I need your list.
All
my list. I like destroying lists.
All right, cool. Then you know what? We're gonna go ahead and put our headlines on pause because it's time for us to get to our top five double dip things you can do on Christmas that are also not tough.
Going to the next joint.
You double dipped the chip.
Double dipped? What are you talking about?
You dipped the chip. You took a bite, and you dipped again.
All right, again.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
Did anybody ever think that was a big deal before then?
What? Double dipping?
Yeah.
No, but I mean,
me, it's obviously disgusting. It's disgusting. But you know, nobody ever, like, I never, like, I don't eat stuff like that anyway.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but I never
it's questioned. It's weird that, like, that's the first thing about this.
Yeah.
And all you look, that's the first time you've ever heard of that being an issue was in that episode.
Double dip.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Now, that episode probably came out when I was like one. So, a majority of my life, the term double dip had already been popularized
by Seinfeld. Right. So right.
I grew up in an era in which, that was already a thing. But, you know, as you're saying, life existed before Seinfeld. So, I'm sure it was brought to the attention then. And people were like, yeah, you know what? That is kind of disgusting, isn't it? So then people were just dipping away.
I'm not big on going to a party tray of chips or something
same.
And just dipping it in the middle of a, I'm not big on fondue.
Yeah, no, same. You know, people are one day, though, going to be like, can you believe they used to have fountains with water and everyone used to put their mouth, like, close to the thing?
There's always in high school. You know, you especially in, like, middle school, somebody got...
just drained it. Like, disgusting. Just
put their lips all on the metal.
What are you doing? I don't know. For some reason, though, like, at a certain point, people just began disrespecting them and just, like, you find, like, spit inside of it. And it's like, this isn't a sink, dude. Get out of here. It was just gross. Yeah. Just gross. Now, Leroy, these are the top five things on Christmas that aren't tough.
Okay.
You want to avoid these things for sure, especially if you're the Miami Dolphins looking to turn the page on toughness. Now, let's start with number five, Leroy. This is a controversial list, but we're going to start with a softball of sorts, all right? Number five thing you're not allowed to do as a man, as a tough person. Receive any other gift other than socks, cologne, underwear, or wallet. Those are the only gifts you are allowed to receive as a tough individual.
Not jewelry. You can get jewelry.
Nope. Watch. Why? A watch? Yeah, I mean, that's really nice. If someone buys me a watch, that's nice. I personally know one ever offered buy me a watch. I don't know about that. But if you receive anything else other than those items... it's not tough. Sorry.
Can't I'm trying to think. Now, I get a lot of golf clothes.
Okay.
I get, I put in an order for socks.
I'm not going to lie to you. I used to be like, socks, underwear. Now, I wait. Yeah. I'm like, oh, I got some new socks and underwear. And that's how you're supposed to react. As a tough man, you're supposed to say, thank you for these socks and underwear. I appreciate these. That's all you can say.
Men are easy.
Absolutely.
Like, how's a man not easy? What you want for Christmas? Socks and drawers.
Now, look, it's an Al Macko saying power tools. That makes sense, but that's for Father's Day. We do that for Father's Day.
All right.
That's a Father's Day thing. That's not Christmas.
That's Father's Day, you get the manly man stuff, right? Absolutely. This is just stuff that you stay consistent with being tough.
For sure. Gotta be tough.
Father's Day is when you get the manly man stuff.
Yeah. You ready for number four?
Ladder.
This, yeah, right. Oh, thanks. You know what I'm going to do with this ladder? Take down these Christmas lights. And I don't want a ladder right now. I don't want to do this. You're giving me more work to do. All right, I've had enough. Now, number four. This ties in with number four. You know, you're not allowed to receive any of these.
Hold up.
Yeah, if my wife buys me a TV, but that's for the family, Leroy. No, that's not for you. That's for the family. Unless it's a private TV, you're only watching in your room. You know. But that's a loophole. You know, we got loopholes here. You got to keep the TV, of course, and you got to remain tough by saying this is for the family. You know, this is for the family. I get to watch football on it, but it's for the family. Yeah. Now, this ties into number four. This is interesting because you're only allowed to receive these gifts. And do you know why, Leroy? Because as a tough, manly man on Christmas, number four, not allowed to have a Christmas list. You are not allowed to have a list.
Oh, that's kind of,
cannot have a list. You have a, imagine that. Imagine someone's like, oh, I can't wait for Christmas because on my list I have, no. You're not allowed to have a list. You can't request anything. You get what you get. You don't get upset. And you know it's going to be socks, underwear, a wallet, or potentially a watch. Wow. Not allowed to have a list.
That's true.
At what age does a list stop? I personally think at 18, you can't have a list no more.
18?
You done have
a list. Way before that, dude.
That's what I'm saying. Like, at what age?
When you realize Santa Claus ain't coming down that chimney?
I think when you get a job. Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes sense. when you realize, like, that's actually
what I'm saying. When you realize that there's no naughty or nice list, then you can't have a list either.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, going into number three of the least manliest things you can do on Christmas. This is going to happen when you have a child or, you know, maybe nephew, niece, whatever the case may be. And they get a toy that they want and they're so happy and they're so excited. And they're like, can you open this for me? And you spend 45 minutes trying to open this damn Power Ranger toy because it's that hard plastic that you can't really rip with your
that
hands.
That plastic that you're scared if you rip it open, you're going to lacerate yourself. because it's like, you know what?
Yeah.
if a bomb comes, wrap me up in that.
Whoa, it is military grade plastic. For sure.
It is. You need to go get the heavy duty scissors. Absolutely. Or the steak knife. Like, what are you doing? Opening this Power Ranger. Yeah, it's rough.
It can't even, like, your teeth. You can't even do the teeth thing because now you're wrestling with this industrial plastic attempting to open it. And it's hard. It really is hard. It's impossible nearly. But if you spend about 45 minutes trying to get that Optimus Prime open, eventually they're going to be like,
wait a minute,
please.
Wait a minute. Can I just say,
yeah.
You mentioned Optimus Prime, like, this hit home.
Like, I'm still waiting on my uncle to open
it. I thought you was going to say another one, and that is your nephew bringing over a toy or a video game or something, and then you start playing it, and you have him watching it.
Cannot enjoy other kids' gifts. It's just not, what are you doing? What are you, this is, holiday isn't for you, sir. The holiday is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
So far, Leroy, any discrepancies with the list?
No. All the lists are valid. The fifth one has some, you know, there's some exceptions. But
yeah,
for the most part, you're on point with that. Definitely the next one with the list. You don't give nobody no list.
Cannot
that nothing
Christmas
says list. I'm not manly.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah, we're good.
So far, so good. Now, number two, I could be a bit biased, of course, working for this station, but I think, Leroy, you'd agree with this. Whether you're doing it at home and whether you're doing it at a family member's home, at least one of the televisions, I have to have sports on. If I watch zero sports on Christmas, what are we doing here? I'm right. Watching,
especially if Christmas fall on NFL Day, which it is this year.
Yep. I got basketball. You know, they always have the basketball selection.
The basketball. You got the bowl games.
New Jersey. Come on, you got so many various options of sports. Right. If I'm not
now,
consuming,
does that apply to Thanksgiving?
I mean, yeah, I need to. I mean, sports is a part of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, when me and my wife started dating, we went over to a family's house. He put all the TVs in the garage so we would just talk.
Yeah, and you know what? To this day, it's traumatized you, has it not? It's a little.
I have not been back.
I tell you what, it's a little questionable activity if you ask me. It's questionable activity.
Yeah, let's talk over football.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then from time to time, we can go, oh! Because
something
crazy happened on TV.
You know you got a proper party.
Yeah.
If you might be cooking or eating and you hear, oh, in the other room, you got to run to see what happened.
Yeah.
That's a holiday.
There you go.
That's a holiday.
Come on. Got to stay manly. Tough. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so a TV, yes. If you manly, a TV must be on.
Sports.
Some sports.
Absolutely. Ooh. Now, number one, Leroy. This one, This one may hurt some people. This one may resonate with the audience that may be listening from other parts that are a bit colder than South Florida. Leroy, maybe you've experienced this in your years in Michigan or potentially in Cleveland. But it's Christmas morning. It's cold. You're looking for a little bit of comfort. As a manly man that we all want to be, as the Calais Campbells of the world, we know that there's one thing we cannot do. The number one thing, least manliest, that you can do on Christmas morning, drink hot cocoa. Can't drink hot cocoa. Cannot.
You better have a coffee.
You have some coffee or you have some whiskey and the kids don't know. But you cannot warm up with a hot cup of cocoa and some marshmallows floating in your mug. I don't care. I don't care if you got that mug for Father's Day.
Now,
can't do it.
You know what? Yeah. You
can't do no hot cocoa.
Nothing says I'm 12 like a hot cup of cocoa.
Imagine everyone's coming in.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Smithen, this is not. No, don't. What are you doing?
Smithen.
Hey, there's a hot cocoa drinker.
Yeah, there it goes. I see.
And smoking acceptable. Yes. No. Long as the base is coffee.
Correct.
You are good.
Look,
you good.
I can tell.
Just saying, wait a minute. So we saying, dude, just leave the gym.
Yep.
It's a little chilly. He got his swole on, just yeah, rocked yeah. up.
Just come on, man.
Right?
Come on.
He wants something to warm up a little bit.
Yeah.
If he go into the coffee shop and say, let me get a cup of cocoa.
Let me get a little hot cocoa with some marshmallows, please. You're done.
Now, I will say this.
Yeah.
And here's where the caveat is. I don't like hot cocoa.
Wow, fair. See, right? You're too tough.
I don't. But you know why? Because it has to be made perfectly, and usually they just make it with the water.
Oh,
and
yeah.
it's not even good.
Nope.
So
No.
But I will say this.
Yeah.
If on Christmas morning,
mm-hmm.
my daughter come in the room
yeah.
with a hot cup of cocoa.
Yeah, you can try it.
We gonna go sit and drink that hot cup of cocoa.
Well, listen, come on now. Of course.
Right.
Whatever.
That's what I'm saying.
Happy. That's prioritizing. Really, the number one thing you can do on Christmas.
Yeah, but now I'm gonna have to pay attention.
Gotta make sure.
Because like when me and my friends, when we gonna go golfing tomorrow morning,
yeah.
right? And it might be a little chilly.
Yep.
And somebody have a mug.
You watch them.
If that's a mug of hot cocoa, we are immediately getting that man card. And we're going to put him on the timeout till New Year's. Now, I'm going to say, New Year's Eve, you better blow some stuff up to come get your card back.
Correct.
Right? Because that's the most manly thing you can do is fireworks.
Blow stuff up.
Yep.
Truly is. But,
Oh, by the way, you,
Oh, you know I'm partaking. You know I'm partaking. I'm getting some fireworks.
My neighbor said he won't in. He was out of town.
For July 4th, he was out of town?
Yeah.
Oh, got to take a trip to TNT. Got to take a trip. We got to do our research this week, Leroy. We got to do our research.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm telling you. Dude, and then when you get there,
yep.
you can just scan it.
Yeah.
And it shows you exactly what it does.
No, it's really efficient. You know, they got that line. They got the cops out there. And then they get you on the way out, buy this one too. And I'm like,
Yeah.
I mean, last time. It was good, though. It was good. It was like $25. It was good. It was great. But that was your list of the least manliest things you can do on Christmas, Leroy. What do you think? Pretty good?
It's a good list. It's a good list. I can't think. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
I can't think of other things to put on the list.
Yep.
Well, partly because I've never heard a ridiculous list like this. Okay, but it's a valid list.
Yeah, absolutely. Gotta remain manly and tough on Christmas.
Like you said. But again.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get in family mode.
For sure.
And you not,
see,
you know,
but because, that's why I don't want to confuse manliness.
Because when Tadpole get up in the morning,
yeah,
you know you gonna be all giddy,
absolutely,
and probably hope nobody taking pictures
for sure. And if they are, though, then I have to push him down or something. I don't know. I have to make sure I balance out.
What is wrong with these guys?
I just gotta be
tough. Leroy doesn't like hot cocoa like he doesn't like coffee and ice cream. He'll be drinking it before New Year's next year.
Okay.
What are you? Dude, wait. Hold on.
Yeah.
I didn't say I didn't like coffee. I just said that because I'm so used to drinking that, like Tobin told me to make it. And when we went to Vegas, they had the thing right there. Right. Wow. Smeathan, I hate you, but this is some of your best work right here.
Okay.
He said, Marcos dressed like a sugar cookie talking about how to be manly.
Point for Twitter.
I think it was Waddle Baby Waddle, or I think it was him earlier. Somebody said, this is coming
fireworks.
From
the... I told y'all why. I told a story.
Yeah, it was trauma.
Why? It was trauma, right? It was trauma, and I got into it because Fonz wanted to get some stuff.
Yeah, man. Let my boy heal, all right? Let my boy heal. I think it was Waddle Baby Waddle earlier. He said, coming from the guy who eats gummy bears for lunch. And I was like, fair point.
You do eat the hell out of some candy.
Yeah, for sure. Me too. Which is not that manly, if I'm being honest. But damn, what? It's good.
Yeah, is there a manly candy?
No, but if you bite lollipops, that's manly.
Really?
You just chew them up.
No, I tell you, Savalas didn't.
Hmm.
You don't know who that is, right?
Nope.
Back when I was a kid, they had, you know how they have all these detective shows and cop shows?
Yeah.
There was one called Kojak.
Oh,
Telly Savalas. He was bald headed, and he used to always have a lollipop in his mouth.
What's his name? Oh, Telly Savalas. There you go.
Telly Savalas. Yeah. Kojak, which means damn, I'm old.
I'm about to find out what year this came out. Kojak release date 1964.
No, I watched it. I wasn't alive.
Nah, you watched new episodes.
It's also the most disgusting. Black licorice is the manliest candy.
Ugh. Yeah, because it is disgusting.
Right.
I don't know. That's rough. When we come back, we will discuss what the hell is going on with the Miami Heat. Is something wrong with Bam Adebayo, and should we be concerned? We got that and much more on the Tobin and Leroy Show.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Hang all the mistletoe. Welcome back.
Again to get to know you better. You know this.
Yes.
Most of y'all only know this song from Chris Brown.
Chris Breezy.
But he's not the OG.
Yes, Donny Hathaway.
Yes.
Yeah,
that song played throughout my house all Christmas.
Yeah, I'd consider that a top three. That's probably in my top three. I got
you know who gets the number one song every year?
Mariah Carey.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's definitely in my top three. I like This Christmas, the Mariah Carey song, and my last slot would either go to Last Christmas from Wham or Just a classic rocking around the Christmas tree. I think Brenda Lee is her name. But Christmas music, man, it definitely is a vibe. I don't know any other there's some Halloween songs, but there's no really holiday that is so influential on a culture that they even have their own soundtrack. And it's been the same. Just a lot of the same people remaking the same songs, but damn, it's good.
Hits. That is crazy. That is the only time of year where you gonna hear the same songs, sung by 100 people.
Now all I want for Christmas, unfortunately, is an explanation, Leroy. Got some text messages this week in the group chat. During the Miami Heat game, the December debut of Superman for the Miami Heat, Khalil Ware.
Oh my goodness. But first of all, he did an alley-oop.
Yes.
And he caught the ball almost above the square.
Absolutely. And threw it down.
That guy's not good enough to play.
In 14 minutes, Leroy, he went 4 for 4. including 7 rebounds, offensive, two being 2 offensive rebounds, 5 defensive rebounds, and 8 points and 2 block shots. So in 14 minutes, again, 8 points, 7 rebounds, 2 block shots, and a plus 26 plus minus, which was by far the highest plus minus for the Miami Heat that day. It's very clear.
And he didn't play the next day.
It's very clear that this man can benefit this team. And it is confusing every time you see him play and go out there and contribute as to why he doesn't get more run. On the opposite side of that spectrum, someone who had a minus 35 plus minus, which is, you know, abysmal, very, very much led the team in the poorest performance.
Was that like the lava?
This is worse. Negative 35 plus
minus. It was worse than the lava because you don't play to that high of a score.
We wouldn't have got that far. We would have given up. We probably would have been like, hey, you guys got this, big dog. And unfortunately, the Magic didn't do that. They climbed all the way back as Bam Adebayo witnessed right in front of him. Yet again, another disappointing performance from Bam. Now, I take pride in being correct in my predictions a lot of the time, or my criticisms. Even if I'm judged, I called the downfall of Klay Thompson early. I mentioned that Tua needed to be a little bit more elusive. Not necessarily headbutt the defenders in the chest, but, you know, just scramble a little bit to get a keep a play extended. And old Loverboy. I called old Loverboy out at the beginning of the season, but here we are, a little more than a quarter into the season, and it seems as if Bam Adebayo hasn't figured it out yet. Leroy, should we be concerned?
No, because of all the people on that team,
yep,
he is the only one that never has a definitive role.
Yes.
Right,
but he never has had
jack of all trade, master of none.
Yeah,
everybody else is not like that, and so instead of taking his game and putting it all around numbers, you kind of have to understand like what they ask him to do from a night to night on a night to night basis before you just look at one stat and incorporate all of the games on these one specific stats without knowing what he's being asked to do from night to night.
Yeah.
So I do give him somewhat of a pass because he is unique in that they ask him to do so much, including be a 6'9 center. My whole thing was, is if you want Bam to truly be able to use his skill set, then play him with Kalel and put him to the four and do more stuff. Because guess what? If you have a mismatch, you can still back the guy down. They'll just run a play for you and let you get him inside. So it's not like you won't end up in the same spot. But with Kalel in there, it gives you an opportunity to have some energy because you ain't banging bodies with they bigs.
Yeah, I mean, we've been clamoring for it all season. We know how much that would help define Bam's role and alleviate a lot of the pressures he has in regards to having to fill these shoes of being the biggest man on the court while being, you know, athletically gifted enough to defend the smallest guy on the opposite team.
Right.
It's a lot to ask, for sure. One would say he's been dealing with this lack of a definitive role for so long that he should actually be comfortable in not knowing exactly what it is. But I feel like the solution is right in front of us. We put Kalel where in the game he dominates and he's tall. Why the hell will we not put him next to Bam? What am I missing here? What
is, I don't know. That's the thing.
I just don't understand. I think, to quote a show pony that is not here to defend himself so I can throw him under the bus, I believe his exact words were bleep spo, respectfully. Like what is it that is preventing him from pulling the trigger on having these two giant defensive human beings on the court at the same time? Like, I just don't understand how that can't help us.
I don't know. Sometimes you have a vision of the way you want things to look, and that's the only thing you see, and you don't kind of allow other things to take form. I don't think that's the case with Spo.
Yeah.
I think he wants Kalel to look and play a certain way, but who has that luxury? We trying to win games. I don't know if we have the luxury to do that with certain guys at certain positions.
I saw a Bleacher Report list that came out grading NBA rookies through the first quarter of the season. And unfortunately, you know, without even looking at the list, I already know the Miami Heat have, you know, you could potentially get a grade on Pelle Larsson, but I you know, it's an INC or NA. Like, it's been, I don't know. I really don't know what we have. And that's the worst part, really. You know,
pretty much.
I don't want him to be a bust. I don't think he is a bust. But if he was a bust, or he was someone who's going to help this lineup, I'd rather already know. I'd rather have a good indication on whether or not, and I feel like I do, but what the hell do I know? You know, I'm not a three-time championship winning head coach, so I can completely understand where it's kind of like, let Spo do his thing, Spo's going to figure it out, but it's just every time I see him on the court, I just don't understand how this man can help us. How can he not help us?
And I think that's the most important thing, is that when he does play him, and you see all that he's capable of doing on the court.
Yeah.
The first thing that comes to mind is, how can this guy not help us? Right? Yeah,
for sure.
That's the first thing that comes to mind. And so I think we're all just tired of seeing guys, while this team's around 500, tired of seeing guys on the bench that we think can help.
Absolutely.
And if anything, give him a run of like 5 or 6 games, and if it doesn't work out, you can say I told you so.
For sure.
It's December. You don't want to. And what ends up happening so much is these guys end up having pivotal roles when 3 or 4 guys are out.
Man, so you've mentioned it. We've been at 500 throughout the regular season for the past 3 years. But if you look at the runs that we do make, who are people who have the most pivotal roles in this? Of course, it's Jimmy Butler, who, you know, does his thing. But aside from that, you look at the original run. It was a young Tyler Hero. It was a young Duncan Robinson. It was a young Bam Adebayo. You look at the following run. It was a young Gabe Vincent. You know, it was a Caleb Martin. It was all these role players that it kind of seems like you're not allowing, you know, one of those pieces to blossom into something that we may need. Caleb Martin was the best player of that Eastern Conference finals, and Gabe Vincent as well. It's like, these players don't get those opportunities, then how do you expect them to be? Like, you can't just rely on Pelle Larsson.
Here's the problem. You know. Here's what I find has happened to the Heat a few times. You put the young player and hold him and gently bring him into the league. And then by the time you get him there, you got 1 year to decide whether to give him a max extension. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So, and football's the opposite. They're going to try to work the hell out of you.
Yep. That'll franchise tag you.
Right. So, I don't know why they do it, because you're losing years of service.
Well, when we come back, we're going to discuss a little bit more of the Miami Heat and a few notable stories from around the league, including what potentially could be the scariest stat about Victor Wembanyama. We got that and much more on the Tobin and Leroy Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Tobin and Leroy Show. We got a wonderful, wonderful show lined up for you. We've discussed some Dolphins. We've discussed some Heat. We'll continue to do so. We got some more news and headlines to break in the next segment. In the meantime, I wanted to take a look around the NBA, if you could indulge me, please, Leroy. Not sure if you saw this.
Are we doing this for chili pepper purposes?
No.
Or just to get some knowledge?
No, just to get some knowledge. But we will have some chili peppers coming up soon. You know I got to give the people what they want. It's a Christmas gift from me to you. If you ever want to miss a parlay by one leg, I am your boy. Yesterday I had a very disappointing performance. Let's see. Oh, this is a killer, Leroy. This is one of those that I actually blocked from my memory because it hurt me so bad. I had a 7-leg parlay. That was a plus 2,000. As you can see, a lot of green there, minus the one red that caused me to lose. The bum is none other than Malik Washington. I know that with OBJ out, that he was going to get an increased role.
I mean, but OBJ wasn't playing that much.
For sure. But, I mean, I was like, he can get a combined rushing and receiving yard total. Because, you know, they'll give him the reverse sometimes.
Yeah.
So I was like, he can get over 29 and a half, you know, between all his catches.
That's really like one catch and one run.
That's the same thing I said, Leroy. Unfortunately, he got 28 of those 29 and a half yards. So, essentially, I missed that 7-leg parlay by 1.5 yards.
Oh, that's the worst.
That is the worst indeed.
And he probably got it early.
He did.
So, all you need him to do is get some kind of touch.
He was at 28 yards at halftime. And I was like, oh, this is easy. In the bag. No problem. But, you know. What can I say? It's another one
that...
And
they start throwing it to Devon Achane on slants.
Oh, my God.
You're like... What do we do?
What do we do? We have a guy for that. There was another one that I had here that was a, this one was another 7-leg parlay. This one was plus 8,000. And it was a combination of games, as you can see here. Another, if I were to scroll, okay, well, I messed that up there. But if I were to scroll up here, you see, again, more green. The only thing that messed me up that game was Mr. Kenneth Walker didn't get the amount of yards he was supposed to get in that Seattle game. But, whatever.
You know, here, I tell you and Tobes this all the time.
Yeah.
That's why that parlay paid
$8,000. I was so close, though. I was so close.
How many people you think play 17 parlays and win? That's why they can get offer 8,000.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. But anyway, I'm not sure if you had a chance to see this weekend. There was an alarming but also pretty cool stat. Victor Wembanyama officially became faster to 203. He became a part of the 200 three-point club, and he got there faster than Steph Curry, James Harden, and Ray Allen.
The fastest was Duncan, right?
Yes, the fastest was Duncan Robinson.
Right. Duncan was the fastest to 500, too, right?
Yeah. Yes. Yes, he was. But now, with this being said, do you think, when it's all said and done, Victor Wembanyama will be in the top five in regards to three-pointers drained all time?
No.
No?
No.
Okay. You think he's starting off fast, but as he gets older, will kind of move inside?
As he gets older, his game is going to get closer and closer to the rim.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, what's interesting about him is not only did he, you know, put up an amazing record-breaking three, he also had 10 blocks that game, bro.
Now, I will say this.
Yeah.
He might be the second person to record a quadruple-double.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure.
You know who the first was?
I think there's David Robinson, I believe. But there's another name that you had mentioned before.
I thought there was only one person to do it.
No, I think you had mentioned this before, and we found out that there was two. So David Robinson had his February 17th, 1994.
Oh, he did have one.
Yeah, I think he may have had two. And Hakeem had his 4 years before that, March 29th, 1990.
So he was the first.
Apparently there was, there's been, no, he beat, when he did it, he was the third player in NBA history to do so, because they have Nate Thurman, who did it in 74, Alvin Robertson, who did it in 86, and then it was Hakeem, followed by David Robinson. But, I'm only going to count Hakeem.
Is it amazing that we haven't heard those other two names?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not, I don't know.
No, nah, I don't, you can't, because back then, just because you don't know him, that dude might be a Hall of Famer, so I'm not just going, you know what I mean?
Let me see if I can put some respect on Alvin Robertson.
And it's always a big, right?
Oh, I'm totally not putting respect on Alvin Robertson's name.
Why?
Unless I'm looking at, I must be looking at the wrong one, because there is an Alvin Robertson who played for the Raptors in the mid-90s, and he averaged 9 points a game. I'm not putting respect on his name. There must be someone else who I have him confused with, because...
So a guy who got a quadruple-double?
Right? It can't be the same.
No, but you said he got it in the 70s.
Yeah, let's see.
So that can't be him.
That's what I'm saying. It can't be. I wouldn't respect it. Personally, I wouldn't respect it. It's just like, you can't average 9 points a game and expect me to respect your quadruple-double.
Can I say this?
Yeah.
I played with two guys who got drafted in 78.
What? Jeez.
Yeah.
Ew. Old.
Ozzie Newsome.
Yeah.
No, Ozzie Newsome and Clay Matthews, the dad.
Senior.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
is that not crazy?
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to discuss the Panthers' undefeated weekend, as well as some news out of Inter Miami. We'll talk that and more on the Tobin and Leroy Show.